All right. Everybody see us?
We live, it says.
Did you see that we live? No. I'm talking about, can you see us on?
It says on the top left corner that it's live.
We're live.
It's not red or anything, but.
Yeah, I see we're live. I got a notification from Facebook we're live.
All right, cool, man. Ladies and gentlemen, how's everybody doing out there today? Welcome. Tokyo is Tuesday. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Didn't mean to be so bad. Hold on. I gotta cut that off. All right, yeah, here we go. Sorry about that. I am Dennis Holmes. This is Tokyo is Tuesday. I'm here with my co-host, Ryan Thomas. Ryan, what's going on, Ryan?
What's up, man? Nothing much. All right.
We also here with the chocolate girl, Miss Sharon Mullen. What's going on, Sharon?
Hi, everybody. Nothing much. How's everybody doing? I hope everybody's all right.
Okay. We also got the sports guru in the building, Mr. Damon Hargrave. What's going on, man?
I am fine and ready to go. Let's do it.
Hargrove.
I was about to call 94 WIP 94.
You went backwards. You went backwards this time. You was on the road.
I was. King Czar is in the building from the West Coast. What's up, baby?
Hey, man. What's good? We doing it, man. We in WA. They ruthless.
Okay. We got Pylon the Pylon in the building. What's going on, Pylon the Pylon?
How's it going, guys? I hope everybody's having a good day. I'm feeling good. I'm ready to go.
All right, let's go.
Also got D-Man in the building. What's going
on, everyone?
My favorite cousin. All right. It's kind of been a long time. I mean, it's been about 2 months since we've done this. I wanted to know how many of my fans was actually paying attention, but I want to know y'all trash-ass players and certified players. You know, because it's been a while since we've done it. So, Ron, I'm going to start with you with your trash-ass players. Ron, what you got?
I got Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
And why I got them, because you drafted a wide receiver over the best old lineman in this year's draft. Make it make sense, Dennis.
Oh, Lord. That's the wrong show for me. But I understand what you're saying. King Czar, what you got over there?
We'll start out here. We're gonna keep it out west. It's every year. Even though they made up for it later, but the usual Oakland Raiders do what they do every year, reach in the first round. Either they go for speed, nothing else matters, or they go for somebody that should have, that's probably could have gotten the third round. And so they had the first reach with Leatherwood with the 17th pick. Even all my Raider partners, as biased as they are, were scratching their heads, you know. And I'm in a little group, and they were just like, I mean, I can't say nothing. But they did make up for it later. But, you know, in the first round, that's where the pick counts. And they took a tackle that was, at the time, I believe, there was like five offensive linemen ranked ahead of them. And like I said, if they wanted that dude, that's fine. Trade down or whatever the case. I mean, Mayock talked about it later because he got asked about it. And he said the same thing. He said they couldn't find no one to trade down with. He said, and that's the player we wanted. He said he didn't care what nobody said. But they took what they got. And that's what they got. So that's my trash ass players.
All right. Sharon. Chocolate girl.
Yes. Is it my turn? Well, my first trash ass player, I've got two.
Okay. Give me both of them.
My first one is LeBron James.
Oh, shit.
And the reason why, it's not even about his playing ability, because he hasn't been playing. And I hope I really hope he gets better quick, because we need him. Love me some LeBron James. But what I didn't like the statement that he made about the play-in, because I felt like he was hypocritical. When they first introduced it, he was all for it. But now that he might have to actually be in it, now he's saying that whoever created it should be fired. And I think you got to be careful when you go out and say stuff and make a take on stuff and you change your mind. It's fine. You can change your mind, but you got to say that you changed your mind and you need to have a reason for it. You can't just come out with it and allow people that, you know, hate you anyway. You know, the LeBron haters out there, they jumped all over this. And and that's what they're supposed to do, since they can't stand him for whatever reason. And so I think that was a misstep on his part. If he felt that way, he can say it, but he should have said, look, I know in the beginning I said before that I was all for it, but now that I'm looking at it, I don't think it's a good move. I don't think we should have it. And keep it moving. That's all he had to do. So I think he just messed up in the way he said it. My second trash ass player, you said you wanted both of them. The second one is Kevin Love. Kevin Love in a game with Toronto in the third quarter. I'm sure y'all all saw it. They were down by four. And the ref tossed him the ball for inbounds. And he swatted the ball. It went inbounds, but Toronto got their hands on it and then scored a three. Next thing you know, Cleveland's down by 11. So after the game, he apologized to his team for his behavior, for just not giving a darn and just swatting the ball. And come to find out, the reason why he was in such a bad mood at that moment is because during the game, he had been fouled several times and the refs wasn't calling the foul. So he was frustrated. I get it. But you're supposed to be the leader you're the vet on this team. You can't behave that way. You got to keep your head in the game at all times. You're supposed to be a professional basketball player. You can't be emotionally swatting at a ball because you're mad. And then it led to a turnover and 3 points. You can't do that. And the momentum shifted right there. So to me, I just thought that was, I'm not going to make it a big deal, bigger deal than it was. It's not a huge deal, but to me, it's not too much out of character for him, but then it is. So he's on my list for this week.
That's cool. Sports guru.
What's shaking?
Do you have any trash ass players?
Well, I think I'm going to go with just one person, and I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. I said Brett Favre. I misspoke, but I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers also wanted to fire someone. And I guess he said he wanted to be traded unless the GM goes. And he was specific about who he was talking about. And that's somebody who put together his team and actually have put together a pretty good team for the last 2 years. I think they've made the conference championship twice, if memory serves me correctly. And more importantly, he last year in the NFC game against Tampa, he had a chance to take that first down and chose to not run for the first down or the touchdown. And it's not like he had a perfect game. He didn't have a perfect game. And he's never played big in the last couple of years in these big spots. His championship game record is atrocious. Okay. So, you know, you can criticize everybody under the sun. You can talk about playing Jeopardy or being a host of Jeopardy and all this other stuff and getting $10 million and not playing football. But the bottom line is you better take some self-accountability for what you had for your part in this debacle, so to speak. Because everybody and their grandmother thought Green Bay had a very good chance of winning that game last year. And they wanted to blame the coach for not going for it on fourth down, which I thought was ridiculous. They gave him enough shots to do it, and he didn't get it done. So therefore, he goes for it on fourth down, and they got the ball back. So all of that, the media, you know, him in particular, taking all his frustration out on the coach, saying he didn't have confidence in him, I thought that was atrocious. So, you know, that's who I'm fashion. And you know what? Don't play, bro. If you don't want to play, don't play. You know, because $10 million ain't $20 million. And you're 38 years old. And if you give it up and you for a whole year, you might come back at 39 or 40 and not be the same player. Okay. And your team, a lot of guys took less money, and especially in football, it happens all the time, to stay on that football team. And they counted on you. And plus the way he treated that Jordan Love. I'm not even a big Jimmy G fan. But look how he embraced this young fella, and he realizes he's going to lose his job. And he's been nothing but supportive and nothing but, you know, welcoming, okay? But the way he treated Jordan Love is also atrocious because he's gutless in my eyes. He always has been. He's got one lousy championship, and you know what? He's my man. He's the person that we got to look at this week. Thank you.
I agree with that. I mean, you're only going to be as good as you was taught. And when he came in the league, Brett Favre treated him the same way. So, right.
Or maybe you're not going to do how you was treated. If somebody treats you poorly, you might treat them better.
You might. And then again, you might not. Remember what Brett Favre said? It's not my job for me to teach him. So, who was we on? We on Jared. We on Jared.
Dope. Ready?
Ready.
All right. Well, first, I think a lot of that criticism was unfair on Aaron Rodgers. Some of it I agree with, but we can't kind of excuse his play or not excuse his play in the game, but then not look at the 90 other people who were significantly more responsible for that loss.
Right.
But for my trash-ass player, it's got to be Howie Roseman. I mean, I would say the whole Eagles organization, but Nick Sirianni stepped in and made a good pick at the end of the draft with Kenny Gainwell. But other than that, we drafted pretty bad. Every year, it's either Howie gets a good first-round pick and blows most of the rest of the draft, or he gets decent picks throughout the draft and just bombs the first-round pick. This year, he got the first-round pick, right, kind of because it was like a slap in the face, like you kind of have to take Devontae Smith here. Then you go and get the guard, Landon Dickerson, an injured guard who – great player. I think he's going to be a very good player, but – we don't Slash need center. An interior lineman. We need linebacker.
I like the linebacker you took from Tulane.
Yeah, but you're going in the seventh. You're getting a guy who's probably it's hard to tell with this linebacker core, but you're not getting it. That's not like a special player. That's just a guy for depth, special teams, all that. So
who
it's
was
like
the guy that you wanted.
There was a million of them. We passed on linebacker
for Jabril Cox.
There was literally, we could have had almost any linebacker. We could have had any linebacker pretty much in the second round.
Right.
So that was the bit, that was part of it. Who was just, that was like a half good pick for me because it was a good player, just not a position of need or that early. We should be addressing that position. Then you go to the next round, we draft the D lineman. Why would, that was just a god awful pick. Milton Williams may be okay,
as a player, but we don't need D-line. Again, you go two picks in a row getting something you don't need with experimental or risky players, which makes it even worse. We got around, we got Kenny Gainwell and Jacoby Stevens late. Like I said, Kenny Gainwell was a Nick Sirianni pick because he's going to be exactly what Nyheim Hines was for the Colts last year in Nick Sirianni's offense. And then we got Trevon Grimes as a UDFA. But other than that, everything else was really bad. We dressed corner with one pick, and it was just – it was a terrible corner pick because the kid's not good. The kid didn't even show he was that good in college. And there was plenty of good corners. So I'm pretty sure Elijah Molden was still on the board at that time, if I'm not mistaken. There were some good corners. So we needed DB, linebacker almost more than anything, and we really didn't address either of those positions truly. So Howie Roseman, trash-ass player for me.
Okay, okay. I thought you had another one. All right, D-Man, what you got over there, D-Man?
I'm going to say the Saints, and the reason why I say the Saints, because we drafted Pete Turner, because I know he's not a first-round talent. They could have drafted him in later rounds. I mean, the Saints could have drafted, like, either a cornerback or a linebacker, possibly wide receiver, or a trade down. And the second round, we drafted a linebacker, Pete Warner. I mean, I know he's Ohio State, because Sean Payne loves Ohio State. And we draft a cornerback who was supposed to be first round or early second round if it wouldn't been opt out. So we got a good cornerback. So I'm going to say the Saints.
Okay. Okay.
You just said that they did two good things.
But he didn't like the first round.
He didn't like the first round, he said.
Actually, I did have another one, Dennis. You're right. The Bucs. The Bucs as a whole. I feel like they had the Super Bowl hangover and they kind of just mailed in the draft, if we're being honest. I didn't like any, not one of their picks I liked.
I'm going to stop hating on my quarterback, all right?
Not one of those picks I liked.
It don't really matter, though.
They didn't make draft movement. Like, they didn't move picks around. They just stood there idly and kind of mailed it in, I thought. Because you took Joe Tryon, which was a huge reach and a gamble. And as good as the Bucs team is, there's still a couple spots they can get a little better at. That didn't
really. Tryon's going to be a good player, though.
I believe he's going to be good because of the
defense. It's an experiment. You're drafting him in the first round. He was the third best player on his defense in college. That's a problem for me, especially in the Pac-12.
Good defense, though. It's a good defense.
It's good defense. I believe
he's
going to
be good
because
of the defense that he's in.
I like
Levi Missouri. If he was a guy that had to go to a team and start a defense, no.
Right.
Yeah, he's going to take a couple years, but like, there was so much talent, they could just keep loading on talent. And the only player that I was like, oh, he might be a decent player is Jalen Darden, the receiver from North Texas. But they don't need him. He's not going to he has almost no role now, except if he's doing kick return and punt return. Because you have Scotty Miller, you have Godwin, you have AB, you have Mike Evans. You just have so many weapons. He's not going to have
Brady. You listen to Brady, Edelman going to go there.
Oh, by the way, then if you get Edelman. Peyton Turner, because his last name is Peyton and Sean's last name. Well, his first name is Peyton, and Sean's last name is Peyton. That's why we drafted Peyton Turner.
Well, that's why one of the teams drafted Brady Breeze from Oregon, because it's Brady and Breeze.
Hey, Dennis, can I read some of these comments?
Yes, you can.
All right. Joshua Bailey said, Ayo.
Blaze
said, what's up? And then he said, shut up, Ron. Y'all took a tight end. Marcus Betts said, shout out to the chocolate lady, Sharon Mullen. That's me. Marcus Betts also said King's ROG. I agree. Marcus Betts says LeBron flip-flops every day, whatever is convenient at the time. And Joshua Bailey said LeBron is just soft. Marcus Betts says soft as McDonald's ice cream. Blaze said Marcus Betts, what McDonald's you getting ice cream from? It's always broken.
Betts
said, right. Every now and then they have ice cream. They usually winter. Ethan said, tell them, guru.
Don't go to McDonald's tonight for ice cream.
And Blaze said, made the conference championship, but not because how they drafted. Drafting guys to win now could have helped. Marcus said, I ain't mad at Aaron Rodgers. GM making dumbass moves. Should have drafted a wide receiver two seasons ago. They draft a DB this year. If I'm him, get me out of town. Yeah, they should have drafted Justin Jefferson or Chase Claypool last season. Look, no, leave Chase Claypool alone. He's ours, so stop. Ethan Tweedy said, releasing Kumaro was a death knell. Give me a break. Marcus Best said, guys, Rodgers won MVP. Dude is doing his job. Ethan said, how we got to go. And Marcus said, we got Parsons and Jabril Cox. Thanks, Philly. And Marcus said, you got three first rounders next draft. Relax. Marcus also said, Trask is future starter after Brady retires. I'm sure you're glad to hear that, Dennis. Ethan said, tell them why they drafted Turner, Dalton Smith. And Dalton said, Ethan Tweedy, I did. And Ethan Coyote said, what's going on? And shout out to Goldie Hawkins. He just had laugh emojis. And Deborah Beatty said, I think we got another gem with our fifth round pick again. So that's all the comments.
Who the 49ers get with a fifth round pick?
I don't know. I can pull it up real quick.
Who knows or who cares?
I can pick it. I can pull it up. Not sure who we on, but go ahead, Dennis.
All right. Well, listen, I ain't going to get my trash ass players out there. And I wanted to, hold on. Let me put this blue on. Blue hat. Y'all like this blue hat? Let
me, I like the blue hat. That's my hat. You can send that to me.
Yeah, let me tell you my trash ass player is the San Antonio Spurs. You were up 33 points on the Boston Celtics with the nail in the coffin, and your ass lose the game, and Jason Tatum put up 60 points. You listen, this might be it for Pop, and I don't mean that Pop is bad. But it's just time that he just might just need to move out. Because it's looking bad. Sometimes you may overstay your welcome.
So is Tatum a better score than Durant since he scored 60 and Durant didn't?
I ain't going to go there. I'm just saying. The Spurs really looking bad. It was up 33 points. Ended up losing the game to the Celtics. Giving them hope. Now that whole rant we had about the Celtics last week look totally different now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dennis. If Pop stepped down, say he stepped down right now. Say he retired. He retired right now.
Yeah.
Who would be a nice head coach to put in that spot?
His assistant. I forgot her name, though.
Becky Hammon.
Becky Hammon.
Okay.
It would be what you call that, a trailblazing move. Would she honestly be the best candidate?
I don't really care about her being the best candidate. I think she deserves the job.
I'm just asking a question.
That's creating a terrible standard.
I'm not talking to you, Sharon. I'm talking to the public. It is time for a change. It is time to start empowering women. Let's start right here. Let's start now.
Let me ask you a question, Dennis. Do you think she would want a job that she was given to just because she was a woman? I don't think she would.
I think she deserves the job.
Well, hold it. I think if they, to address his question, I think if they gave it to her, they would only give it to her if they felt she deserved it and earned it.
Yeah.
I don't believe that they would give it to her just because she's a woman. I don't even think they would do that.
Yeah, I can't speak for women, but if I was a woman, I probably wouldn't want to get a job based off of my gender. That's just
wouldn't either.
Well,
exactly.
I wouldn't. I'm a woman. I'm all woman. I'm all woman, and I'm telling you, I wouldn't want that either.
That's a bad standard.
Watch it, Ron.
I tell you this. I got my job at Metro North 33 years ago due to affirmative action, and now with that lifetime pension, six figures – I'll take it, and I'm damn sure proud of it. They never gave blacks jobs like that when I was a youngster, and I was one of the trailblazers. And damn it, I ain't giving shit back. So all that's a bunch of bullshit. That's a bunch of bullshit. I'm not going to deserve it, or I'm not going to appreciate it. If you get something, whether you deserve it or not, you make the most of it. Especially if historically women haven't gotten something or blacks haven't gotten something. Affirmative action works.
That's true. I agree with that too. And see, I'm both. I'm a black woman. So, you know, for me, if that's what it takes for me to get where I need to get, then fine. But I'm darn sure gonna deserve it because I'm qualified. And I believe that Becky Hammon is qualified. I believe she's proven herself to be qualified.
Was Gase qualified to get the jet job when he got fired?
Oh, no, he wasn't.
No. And
what about Kiefer?
5 minutes. Was Luke Walton qualified to get the Sacramento job?
No.
Get the atrocious job with the Lakers?
No.
What about Kingsbury, Damon? Damon, remember Cliff Kingsbury.
That's Queen. Right. And he hasn't right. proven himself. What have they done? They had much better talent come in, a better quarterback, and they still didn't make the playoffs. So he hasn't proven anything yet. And now they even doubled down on that with who they signed this year. They got the kid from Cincinnati as a wide receiver. So AJ Green. I mean, yeah, thank you.
Well, let me read these comments. Dennis, Ethan Tweedy agrees with you. Becky would be the best candidate. Yes. Would be a great move for the Spurs if Pop retired, Ethan Coyote says. And Vontae Hicks said, put me in, coach. That's it.
Okay.
Get in the game. Let's
get our certified players in here. Certified. Sugar-fied. Come on, Ryan.
Ryan.
I got it. Atlanta Falcons. We draft for every need. The O-line, the defensive line, the corner, the safety. We got everything, and we got the best tight end in the draft. So we got everything we needed in this draft.
You got everything you needed?
Everything we need.
Get a quarterback.
We don't need one right now. They just restructuring his contract. So why give another quarterback to sit on the sideline and take up more money? And that money could go to the team.
Okay.
He will be on the rookie salary.
Uh-oh. So
let's go. Wait, hold on. Let's see what King Zara got to hear.
Well, shoot, you going there? I'm going with my boys. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's going with Dallas. I mean, obviously the two corners that we most likely wanted, you know, went before us, and no one saw that coming. No one saw Carolina taking Horn at 8. That's for damn sure. And then no one saw Denver taking Surtain at 9, especially after signing.
I've seen Denver take Surtain at 9.
You seen that? But they signed two good cornerbacks in the offseason.
Right.
Not one, two.
I see. And they needed as a matter of fact, Jared Muller's here. He can agree to that.
I'm just saying the public. I mean, that ain't none of Denver. People were still shocked that they took Surtain. My boy, a Broncos fan, he was shocked. He wanted them to address the quarterback position. So I'm just saying they went back to back. But because that happened, which kind of sucked, and we were able to, you know, first off, you know, props to me and you. Our teams coming together to screw the Giants and, you know, let y'all move up. We go down and get a third round pick and still get the best defensive player in the draft, who's odds on favorite to win defensive player, the rookie of the year per Vegas already right now. And like I said, they get that third round pick. And then to Ron's question, addressing the cornerback position, we addressed that and more and drafted three corners. And with Kelvin in the second round, I think he's going to be a badass at the cornerback position from Kentucky.
Boss man fat.
Right. And I thought we had a really good draft, you know, overall. And obviously the steal, Jabril.
Move on.
In the fourth round. I had Mayer hitting me up on that one. Like, why y'all taking all the linebackers? Come on, man. Jabril Cox, Jalen Smith, Vander Esch, y'all on notice. It's that simple. Time to put up or shut up. You ain't on the field, you gone. Vander Esch, after his rookie season, he can't stay on the field. He up out of here. If he don't play this year, it's a wrap. Parsons and Cox, that's the future. That's
happy retirement, Sean Lee.
Right, exactly.
If you got an LSU player that wasn't Chase, it was a steal in this draft because they all fell. Tremendously fell.
Crazy.
Well, I have four of them.
Okay.
I'm gonna start with none of them are in the NFL because I'm about NFL out. So I'm just, you know, the obvious NFL certified players would be the GM and the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers because I was happy about all their draft picks. So they're, of course, on my list. But let me start with the NBA with Steph Curry. So Steph Curry, Steph Curry, listen to the stat line. 62 points, 5 rebounds, 58% field goal percentage, 8 of 16 three-pointers, playing 36 minutes with a W. That was the stat line when he got his 62-point game. For April, he finished out scoring 85 three-pointers, the highest number of threes in a month in NBA history ever. He's having an MVP caliber year. Yes, I know where he falls on the rank on the standings. I get it. So he's not going to win the MVP, but he is the MVP, and history will show that, even though he won't get the award. So that's one. Do you want all of them now, or do you yes. want to go around?
All of them would be great.
Okay. Another one is Julius Randle of the New York Knicks. He was named the Eastern Conference Player of the Month by the NBA. In April, he led the Knicks to 11-4 record. He also is having an MVP season and very well could win it. I don't think he will, but he could. He's going to receive some votes. And he's really grown into his role. Very, very happy to see it. I've been a fan of his since his Laker days. So also the Washington Wizards. I love what they're doing right now. They're fighting to get into the playoffs, to make it into the playoffs. And I like their resurgence. Of course, I love what Russell Westbrook is doing because finally his triple double W's are actually contributing to wins, which is a good thing. He's been the same all season. What changed is what the other players are doing. So now they're winning. And the coach has had to change the way he coached. So they're winning. And the last one going to Major League Baseball is Mike Trout. The Anaheim Angels. He returned to a game from injury. He got 4 hits, 2 RBIs. And right now he leads the league with a 426 batting average, an on-base percentage of 539, and an 820 slug percentage. So slugger percentage. So Mike Trout is doing Mike Trout things. And so he's one of my certified players for the week.
Okay. Sports guru.
You know what? I want to take a step back against this trash argument we had a few minutes ago. I want to put the New York Mets in there because all and a parenthesis around Stevie Cohen, the owner of the New York Mets, because all we heard from and last but not least, I want to put the Met fans in there because all we heard of when they was trying to make this little transaction, get the Wilpons out of there, is how badly they wanted Stevie Cohen in there because his money was so good and so great and so everything. For the people who don't know, Stevie Cohen had to pay a damn $1 billion to keep his ass out of Sing Sing because he was doing illegal stuff. Then he did that Robin Hood stuff, okay, for people who are informed how that went down with the
he had the largest penalty in CDC history. He had to pay the largest fine ever.
And then on his first thing he did was that Robin Hood with the GameStop situation. So, you know, so I'm not this is not a stocks and bonds show, but you got to know what's going on around with you, especially when it comes to money, because money affects everybody. But now he fires Chili Davis, okay, the hitting coach of the Mets today or yesterday. And that was an abomination, okay? So nothing's changed with the Mets. The Yankees, nothing's really changed in New York. The Knicks, well, they are probably the only good team we have right now. The Giants stink, the Jets stink, the Mets stink, the Yankees stink, and ownership of most just about all of our teams stink. So let me just get that out there.
Sound like New York State.
Do you have any certified, though?
You got any certified? You got anybody in New York you like? The Rats?
Roaches?
You know what? If I had to say anybody, just to be fair, you got to give it up to Julius Randle. Honestly, I've always said this year that he's got to be a second or third best player on a team to be a championship team. And I still believe that. I think he's playing over his head. I heard the comparison with him and Zion, and I thought that was ridiculous because he's been on about three or maybe four different teams in order to achieve this success that he's having this year. And granted, he's done a great job. He is in the MVP consideration. He won't win it, but he's played, I think, kind of over his head, but you got to give it up. I mean, you know, the Knicks, you know, they got the same record as the Lakers. Now they're in the East, you know, the Eastern Conference, which is a lot easier. I mean, you know, teams are going to get in the playoffs under 500. So that does matter, but you know, no one expected this from the Knicks, from Tom Thibodeau and Julius Randle. So you got to give them their props.
I did.
Yep.
I did. I've been saying it since the offseason. Watch out for the Knicks. They're gonna do some things. Nobody believe me.
Shout out to Jared, D Rose, baby.
I got a couple. I got the Lions, actually. I don't know if I haven't completely went through them all like and ranked them, but I don't know if they'd be my best draft. But I think they were my favorite draft. Just because they got a lot of guys I really liked coming into this draft. And guys I had highly ranked. And they didn't really have to move around at all. They kind of just picked where they were and got all these. They got Sewell. That was a great pick mm-hmm. there. It was a pretty obvious a pick for them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you come around the second round, you get my third DT. I said a couple shows ago, I forgot which one it was, but I said there was Barmore and Shelvin at DT, and then there was everybody else. And I always thought Levi was the top of that everybody else. So I thought that was a good pick for them in the second, getting the D-tackle, rebuild that D-line they need to build. Then they come around, they get Fatu Melifonwu. You guys have heard me speak on him before, tied for Pat with Pat Surtain as my top corner in the draft. So that was fantastic for them in the third. Then they come around, they get Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of my favorite receivers. I've talked about him plenty of times. And then they just kept going. And then, of course, they were the ones to get the UDFA Sage Surratt signing when he crazily went undrafted. So they got so many of my – they had a couple, like, weird picks, but – they had a lot of my favorite guys in there. So they definitely get certified for me. And then I got, you know, I got to go to my MMA, my UFC, Jiří Procházka. He just fought in the main event on Saturday and executed the third ever spinning elbow knockout in UFC history. You can see it in my picture if it pops up, but yeah, it was pretty bad. It was over a guy who just 15 months ago gave John Jones arguably his closest fight. A lot of people say he won that fight. And if you know John Jones, you know, he's the GOAT of MMA. So there's a guy who's on a streak now, and Jiří Procházka looks serious. There's only his second UFC fight, too. He was fighting a guy like that, and he did that to him. So he's been guaranteed a title shot if he wants it after only two UFC fights. So definitely certified.
John Jones ain't no damn GOAT. I know that.
Hey. That's the GOAT of
D-Man,
him.
D-Man.
Oh, hell no.
For me, I got the Chargers. The reason I got the Chargers because Rashawn Slater, he was still on the board, and they drafted him from Texas. Harbor in the second round, they drafted Onsite Samuel Jr. And I think that's a good steal, good pick for the Chargers in the second round.
I agree with that. That was a good one.
Yeah, my brother's a Chargers fan. He was nervous they weren't going to take Rashawn Slater if he fell, because he was like, we need a left tackle. That's all we truly need right now in the first round. He was so nervous they weren't going to take him.
All right. What you got? Go ahead, Chocolate Girl.
No, I want to hear yours first, then I'll ask your question.
Okay, well, listen. A lot of y'all know how I feel about this guy. And for him to go out there and put up 60 points was amazing with the man down 33. Jason Tatum is my guy. Jason Tatum is my certified player, along with Russell Westbrook and the Phoenix Suns for clinching that number one spot.
Good picks.
All right. Good picks.
With all those.
Well, I have a question, or I have a statement. I feel that Penei Sewell and Quiddy Pay are going to be the best players out of this draft. Ooh. That's where I'm leaning. That's what I think. I think they're going to be the best players out of everybody in this draft by the end of their careers. That's what I think.
My other brother would like to hear that. He's that's a Colts
that's
fan.
That's where I'm at.
Sharon.
What?
Stop burning that sage. That smells like weed.
I'm just saying.
I like a lot where Kwity Paye went because the Colts are going to use him perfectly, exactly to his strengths. So I like where Kwity. I wasn't huge on Kwity Paye, but I think he's going to develop perfectly into an ideal spot. I'm not huge on
Kwity Paye because Michigan guys take too long to develop.
I wouldn't say
I think he's going to break the mold.
Who's a Michigan?
He's also one of the only recent ones that's actually been used in the correct. He's going to be used in the correct way right out of that.
Give me a Michigan guy that didn't take too long.
Every single recent Michigan guy has been used way incorrectly. Besides Jordan Lewis.
Took a while to develop. Stop.
Tom Brady. Jabril Peppers. Jabril Peppers.
Wait. You said Tom Brady took a while to develop.
I'll run him down right now.
Wait. I'm saying it doesn't matter who has not taken a long time in the past or who has. What I'm saying is Kwity Paye, I believe, is going to break that mold. He is, I believe he is going to be a transcendent player. That's what I believe. Him and Penei Sewell. I don't feel that way about any other players in the draft. It's just what I feel. Just watching, reading, listening, and watching some more, that's where I'm at.
Hey, Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson is right, but Tom Brady.
Oh, you're going back way too far.
Well, he's talking about does it Tom? Then what? What'd you say? He's saying nobody.
Well, no.
Tom Brady did not walk into the league ready.
No,
he did have to develop.
He did not walk in. Y'all crazy.
Yes, he did.
I disagree.
You can disagree all you want, but the film will tell you otherwise. When it comes to Tom Brady.
Right.
And just because like a lot of people do. And even if he walks in and they win a game, you got to look at why they won. It was not all on Tom Brady.
I
didn't say you did say it. But what I'm saying to you is his first 3 years, he had to develop. So that doesn't mean he didn't have to develop Czar.
Czar, let her finish.
The man came into the playoffs and won Czar, the Super Bowl.
Czar, let her finish, Czar.
He did not come into the game as Hall of Famer Tom Brady. He had to grow into that. You can roll your eyes, you can cut me off and yell what all you want. The fact is, he did not step into the NFL fully developed. That's what I said. And you said, yes, he did. No, he did not. He had to develop. And it doesn't matter.
He performed well, but he still wasn't Tom Brady back then. Ben Roethlisberger
won a Super Bowl early in his career, too. That didn't mean he didn't have to develop after that.
It's kind of all over the place. Dennis said Michigan players take a long time to develop. I said,
which
Tom
right
Brady,
away is just a stupid
hold on,
argument.
Hold on. I said Tom Brady
a position
and Charles
a player
Woodson,
plays at a certain college means nothing to them.
Again,
as a player. It's the dumbest narrative in football. I'm sorry.
Tom Brady and Charles Woodson did not take a long time to develop.
You said that he developed as soon as he got in. He started winning. Winning and performing doesn't mean you're not developing. It doesn't mean you're still developed.
Right, but did it take him a long time to develop? No.
But Dennis was originally talking more about the recent defensive players.
I was talking about Michigan players, period. I am speaking on Tom Brady.
I'm giving you a more legitimate argument.
I understand what you're saying, but this is what I'm trying to say.
20 years ago has no relevance to a player getting drafted in 2021. They have no relevance.
This is what I'm trying to say. I am speaking on Tom Brady. If y'all let me say it, both of y'all, certain players take longer to develop because they're individual players.
They're
not
a school.
Dennis, put your camera on.
What I'm trying to say here is I am speaking on Tom Brady. When Tom Brady first start winning those games, defense won them games. Tom Brady ain't had over 200 passing yard games.
But what does his development in the early, in the beginning?
But that does strike his development, because at the same time, he ain't developing to nothing. His defense carried him through all that. He just didn't make – what he didn't do was make the same mistakes that Bledsoe did, which cost him games.
Right. But what he didn't do.
He took care of the football, and he just made – he just made smart plays. Listen, listen. First, you understand why I'm saying it. Tom Brady had to develop. It took them like 2 years. Then he start becoming a better quarterback.
So why? Because he wasn't playing? He had to develop?
So no, because Tom Brady,
I'm not talking about those 2 years. Cesar. I'm talking about once he started.
Michigan,
if you, if late, y'all listen
to me, hold on.
That's what the whole argument is, y'all though. Okay. That's what you started the argument with.
Okay, Dennis. But to me,
you know what the problem is with y'all. You know the problem is with y'all.
You're trying to relate only listen to y'all Michigan players to Quiddy Pay when that's not.
No, I'm not. I'm not comparing everybody.
You said Michigan football players take a while to develop.
Y'all name two out of 20 years.
The whole thing was started by you saying Michigan players, and I'm the wrong guy to develop. That was what the whole argument started.
Okay, all right, Jared, you again.
Which is
Jared, you ain't hear what I said, Jared. You named two players out of 20 years. As a matter of fact, it's 25 years.
Well, that's because the whole other argument broke out as
it's 25 years. Y'all named two players.
But Tom Brady, I didn't name Tom Brady because 20 years ago has nothing to do with 2020.
Dennis, how many we got a name? You said none.
I said I said it take Michigan guys a long time to develop. Really, you only got one.
So to me, when you say it takes a long time to develop, I'm thinking of a player like a Drew Brees or like a Kyle Lowry, someone that they almost gave up on.
No.
That's my definition of a good player that takes, you know, they're getting time to play. They're not performing. They're getting time to play. They're not performing.
No. They're getting like carried.
I'm just trying to explain my definition is where I'm going with it, so at least y'all know where I'm at when I say that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. It's clear. I still stand by what I said. Can I read these comments?
Go ahead.
All right. Shoulder knife put me in. Okay. So Ethan Coyote says, still can't wait to play Atlanta this year. Blaze Gabbert, what's up, Blaze, said, I thought Denver was going to take Horn, but he was gone. Ethan Coyote said, no one expected division rivals trading with each other in the first round.
I did.
LOL. Rashad Stribling, 100. He was applauding something that somebody said. Ethan Coyote said, the rare time there another Ethan in the chat, but one like the Bulls, the other like the Dolphins. The Bills, another like the Dolphins. Ethan Tweedy said, getting Rousseau, then Basham, we got much better in pass rushers. He also said, we're coming for Tua's ass again. Ethan Tweedy also said, another CP is Corey Kluber. And Vontae Hicks said again, put me in, coach. Dalton Smith said to mute y'all, because y'all talk too much. Blaze Gabbert said Tom Brady was always a winner. They wanted the shiny toy in Drew Henson. They should have stuck with Brady at Michigan.
That was
in college. Finally, Big Gino has come back to Facebook Live. I don't know what that means. There was a reason he was like seventh string at Michigan, is what Ethan Tweedy said.
Again, like I said.
And don't mention Drew Henson. We got him at Dallas, man. I thought, man, there's so much hype on that whack-ass player, man.
Well, that's all the comments.
Dude was garbage.
And like I said, wait a minute, let's start with the headline news. Sports Guru was speaking on it earlier. As it seems, Aaron Rodgers wants out of the Green Bay. After hearing the news that San Fran almost offered the house for him, and Green Bay said no. So,
Denver did too.
I want to know what's your thoughts? Kings, I'm going to let you go first on that. What's your thoughts?
No, I was just saying shit. Yeah, my boy, a huge Denver fan. I remember when we had the little draft show when it sounded like at one moment that the trade was about to be pulled off, but obviously it didn't happen. But they offered a lot. I just think Green Bay considered it, and then I think whatever, some snap. And like everybody's saying, they calling his bluff. And And my point is, he is 38. I mean, if he was like there, I don't know what I would do in Green Bay's position. I mean, you drafted a quarterback. I like to do a lot of people trashing on Love. He ain't even played yet. I think he's going to be a future pro quarterback in this league. But if I'm them, and I like Aaron Rodgers too. It's weird. I'm kind of in the middle because I like Aaron Rodgers myself. But if I'm Green Bay, if I can get the house, the man's 38. You drafted a quarterback. I'm doing it. I'm trading the man. I'm not going to trade him in the division. I'm trading him to Denver. If Denver's offering the house, I'm actually doing it. He's 38 years old. I got my future quarterback. If I can get, you know, 3 first round picks, you know, defensive players that are ready now, like, I'm doing it. So, but as far as like the whole episode, it ain't nothing we ain't seen before. And it ain't going to be the last time we going to see something like that. There's just too many divas in the league. There's too many. I mean, Russell Wilson was more classy about it. We almost got that, but I think he pulled up. He even gave teams he wanted to go to, but then he kind of hit the brakes and was like, you know what I mean? For whatever reason. So there's players, Aaron Rodgers ain't the first, ain't the last. So it is what it is. But if I'm Green Bay and I'm getting the house, I'm taking it.
Okay. Ron Thomas, what you got?
I want to say this, because Green Bay showed their hand last year in the draft. You did not get this man no wide receivers, no help whatsoever. So me being Aaron Rodgers, I look at, well, you don't want me then. You don't want me to succeed. If you're not trying to get me no weapons to help me out here, why I need to come back to y'all? For what? I will retire. To be honest, stay out like the Brett Favre did. That's what I will do, because they showed their hand last year. You don't want to give me no tight end. You don't want to give me no wide receivers. So why keep on playing with y'all? For what?
Okay. All right. Jared, what you got on it?
I think with Aaron Rodgers, a lot of people are like very easy to like just say, yeah, like he's being a baby or what have you. But they've over the years have – it's not even just about drafting. It's just in general, they've taken all the wrong steps towards Aaron Rodgers, if we're being honest. Maybe not all, but they've taken mostly bad steps towards Aaron Rodgers. They kept the coach around too long. That obviously he should have been out of there a while ago. You have Aaron Rodgers, he's a top five quarterback of all time. I don't really care what anybody says. He's your franchise QB. He's been there forever. He waited originally before he even started for you guys. He's performed, I mean, arguably more efficient than any quarterback ever. He is who he is as a person, right? But as a player, he demands a team being built around him. He demands being the face of that franchise. So what when there's about three or four times,
who he is as a person, what do you mean by that?
He has his moment. He's a very polarizing person, like in general. Like a lot of people like him, and then there's a lot of people who also hate him. Like it's not like a wide spectrum. It's either you either really love Aaron Rodgers or you hate him, is what I've seen, at least. Just because of little things, like some people know him, like even outside of football, like a lot of stuff with like his relationship with like his family and all the people around him. It's a lot. If you look into a lot of this stuff through his life, me personally, I'm neutral with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I don't know him as a person, so I just know what I've seen. So I'm neutral with him. I don't hate him. I don't think he's a scumbag or anything like that. He's a very smart person, but he demands to be the face of the franchise. You've had him as the face of the franchise, but then this is, everybody wants to talk about, you know, Jake Kumerow, whatever that whole situation. He's like a fourth, fifth string receiver. I think there's a point where that doesn't matter. Keep him around as a fourth, fifth string receiver. What's the problem? If your franchise quarterback really has a strong relationship with him, what's the problem there? Tom Brady is about to bring in Julian Edelman, who at this point in time for the Bucs is a fourth string receiver, and people aren't going to bat an eye. just because it's Tom Brady's guy. Aaron Rodgers, this is about the third time that they've done this to him, where he has talked about and gave praises to a teammate, and then they got rid of him very shortly after that. It's like the third time. Jordy Nelson was an example of that. He literally had just spoken about, highly about Jordy Nelson, then they got rid of him without telling him. They don't run any decisions in the franchise by him. And I'm not big on the whole first-round wide receiver because it doesn't matter where you get drafted as a wide receiver. He's had them. He's had weapons. He's had Davante Adams. He's had Jordy Nelson. He's had Donald Driver. He's had Greg Jennings. He's had those guys.
Randall Cobb.
Right, he's had guys. So I don't buy into that narrative as much either because they've just been able to draft them well in the middle and late rounds of the draft. It's not about drafting them in the first round. They haven't done a terrible job of building around him, but they don't run anything through him. And then it's a lot. There's a lot to the situation. You could keep going. But it's like, I think there's a point where it's like, all right, there's certain things that like, all right, maybe you could be a little more reasonable with Aaron Rodgers, maybe little things, but he demands, like, he's the face of your franchise. No matter who you bring on that team, he is the face of your franchise. So, and he has been for over a decade. And he dealt with pretty not great coaching decisions over the years as well. So, that's my
take. D-Man, what you think?
Well, to be honest with you, this got to be frustrating for Aaron Rodgers because he has no weapons. I mean, they didn't draft receivers in the first round last year and this year. I mean, it's got to be frustrating. Like, he's not very happy. I mean, I know he had Davante Adams, but he has no help. I mean, I'm not sold on MVS. And Allen Lazard, he's not that bad. And before that, I mean, he used to have Jordy Nelson, Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, Randall Cobb, and I never seen he has good tight ends either. So if I'm Rodgers, like, I'm getting out of here, either retired.
Tight end pretty good, man. The tight end pretty good, actually, Tanyan.
Chandler girl.
Well, this goes along with my chocolate girl moment. So I might want to let somebody else go before I go because I got a whole lot to say on this because I'm really kind of pissed off about it. But go ahead.
Guru, you got any more on the tank?
No, he's already unleashed on him.
I got more. Believe me, I got plenty more. First of all, you got to understand when you look at the National Football League, it's all money. The owners, you need about, I think it's 30%. To actually buy into the professional sport, other than when you compare it to other sports, like in particular how Dwayne Wade got into the NBA, they don't want, you know, guys who, you know, let's be fair, they don't want blacks, they don't want certain people that don't look like them to get into the sport in terms of ownership, because that rule is in there, because they know that those people don't have that type of money. You have to have that old money in order to get in. So that's the first thing. So now you have, where was it? This year you had, Carson Wentz, you had, what's his name? The other kid from Detroit,
Stafford.
They both got traded. Okay. The guys who didn't get traded was, and they made a big stink over it, was Deshaun Watson and the Seattle quarterback. So there is sort of like, some sort of change going on where, you know, they like to compare it to the NBA where the prisoners run the asylum, you know, just like obviously what I call them rerun Harden did, you know, forcing his way out of Houston. But there's starting to be a trend with that in football as well, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So, you know, these are things. I got to give kudos to Terry Bradshaw. And I've never been a big Terry Bradshaw fan. He's always tried to kill Tomlin. Tomlin never had a losing season. But the four-time Super Bowl champion, Terry Bradshaw, was spot on calling, what's his name, a baby. And he basically kind of really went in on the way that Jimmy G treated this new, Trey Lance, and how embracing he was, okay? And the money that he's making dictates that. You know, what you're going to give up, all that money that they gave, and they overpaid for Jimmy G. And he ain't cashing with no Super Bowl. But you know what? He's not trash. And I think, you know, until he'll hold the fort until the young man is ready. So give him credit. But obviously, you know, we haven't heard what's Aaron Rodgers say anything to his new quarterback. you know, because he's too busy all in his goddamn feelings. And as far as I'm concerned, when you pay, football is different from every other sport in the sense that you pay these quarterbacks like they the only goddamn thing that matters on the field. And then you have a salary cap, and then now you can't pay everybody else. So that's the reason why you can't get wide receivers. And that's the reason. And if we go back to that NFC championship game, once again, I heard somebody say something that 19 other reasons. The hell it was 19 other reasons.
Equanimeous St. Brown dropped 2 points right off of his hands.
Let me finish. When he had a first down, he had a first down, and his gutless ass wouldn't run for it, okay? His gutless ass wouldn't run for it because he's a punk, okay? He was a punk. He wouldn't run for it. And then you want to blame the first-year head coach. Like, the man has got a record of, like, eight or 10 games over, I mean, like 10 games over 500. He's done a good job. He didn't want the Dallas coach. He wanted to get him out of there in the worst way. And I'm not saying whether he's good or bad. He's not good or bad. But the bottom line is you wanted him out of there. Now you got this young cat in here who you can kind of bully a little bit, and he doesn't go on fourth down because you didn't do it on third down and all the media kissing your ass. Okay? Don't give me that bullshit about, yeah, I saw the wide receiver drop the touchdown. But when you're the quarterback and they're paying you all the money, you got to get it done, brother.
I do have one question, though.
Woosa.
Was Aaron Rodgers covering Mike Evans all game?
Oh, please. They got what's the name? Two, three interceptions.
Kevin King was the one who was looking up at Mike Evans as he caught a touchdown.
The game was won on that fourth down play where they had to take the field goal, plus they got the ball back.
And if you go back and watch the play, if you go back and watch the play, right?
On the coach, they got the ball back and still didn't.
Listen, if you go back and watch the play, like go watch it. Watch it in a slow so you can look at everything. Devin White was going to plant that man 65 feet into the earth if he ran with the ball.
He didn't want to take it.
Devin White runs a 4.44.
Well, I don't care what Devin White was going to do. I agree with.
He still would have got the first down.
Yeah, because if people can get on Cam Newton for not diving for the ball, then you can get on Aaron Rodgers for not doing what he should have done. So I don't want to hear it.
Amen.
I don't want to hear it. Everybody want to dog Cam. Oh, he should have fallen for the on the. He should have ran after the. No, he shouldn't. He told everybody why he didn't. Nobody would give him the benefit of the doubt on that. Nobody would understand. So I'm not giving Aaron Rodgers no pass on that.
That's fair, but like I said, if anybody wants to do it, go watch that playback in slow motion. Look at Devin White on the play.
You ain't the only one that got it.
Number 45, the linebacker.
I've watched it two or three times in slow motion and actually watched people, sports
and watch the different angles as well. Don't watch like just the TV highlight angle.
I saw them break it down and explain what was going on.
He had the angle. He was coming downhill. He's 60 times more athletic and significantly bigger and strong. I don't know. I'm just saying. He was second in the league in tackles. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Hey, man,
if you watch the play again, go different.
But you didn't give that same benefit of the doubt to Cam Newton, though.
Because Cam Newton had the ball in front of him and he backed out of the way.
I would too. Did you see what was coming to his legs?
Cam Newton.
Did you see who was diving towards his legs?
Well, you don't die.
A business decision, huh, Ryan?
Did you see who was coming towards his legs?
You don't die.
That's all I'm asking. You're not taught to dive. Did you see that?
Leg first. Towards
the
phone.
I didn't ask you what the rule is.
What do you mean?
I didn't ask you that. I asked you, did you see what was coming towards his knee?
How the Cam Newton was never taught to dive leg first at a fumble, so he wouldn't be diving with his legs in danger to get the football.
I did not need you to explain that, sir.
So that's the reason I'm answering the question.
No, but you're not
by explaining what he was taught as a football player. So there'd be no, he wouldn't, there's no scenario where his legs are in
that play that Cam Newton had in that Super Bowl. That everybody wants to ridicule him for. Did you see what was coming towards his knees? Did you see it?
I answered the question, so that's
no, you didn't. Because the answer to the question is yes or no.
You don't dive on a fumble with your legs. His legs would have been behind him or to the side of him.
Oh my God! You don't understand what I'm saying. I didn't say that. I didn't say that you dive with your legs. But he
why are we worried about his kneecaps? What do you like?
He saw who was coming towards his knees. That's why he backed away.
Doesn't matter who's coming towards his knees. His knees aren't going to be there.
You dive with your legs, but they're just not in
his
front of you.
His knees were okay.
You don't dive with your legs in front of you for a fumble. That's not a scenario in football.
Did I say that?
So what's the problem with his knees?
Somebody else besides him. Did anybody else hear me say that you dive with your legs?
No, you said that you see what's going towards
I'm not even so, talking about that, but you want to stick to that.
You're talking about
that's
somebody
fine.
Going at
hold
his
hold
legs
on,
that
wait,
aren't
we,
in the
equation.
No,
all day on this joint,
no,
Jared.
That's okay. Let
her finish her talking for a moment.
You can stick with that if you want to. I know what I'm talking about,
let's
and I remember
the
play very well.
Let's get to the chocolate girl moment.
So I remember what I saw very well. Apparently you don't, but that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just know the game of football and know what you're taught to learn.
I'm
going to
talk about this Aaron Rodgers thing. You being real
rude. I'll go find one person on
planet.
Hold on, Jared. Let her finish the chocolate girl moment.
You being real rude right now. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
I know, because you weren't.
No, I wasn't. Smart ass. I wasn't being rude.
You literally just inferred that I don't watch the game of football. For no reason.
You inferred that I don't.
No, you just said it.
You proceeded to break down the rules to me because
I was explaining why you asked me a question and I answered. You asked me a question and I answered.
Dog, you still haven't answered the question.
You're mentioning danger to a
woman. Can we just get to the end of the question?
You can get mad all you want.
That's fine.
I'm not going to be mad because I know what I'm talking about. And I know exactly what I saw in the play. And nobody in here can co-sign what you said. I never said that you dive with your legs. That don't even make sense. So anyway, getting back to the subject at hand, on this topic of Aaron Rodgers, I agree 100% with what Terry Bradshaw said in theory. I don't agree necessarily in everything that he said, but I agree with why he said it. And this is how I'm going to explain it. First of all, you got to look at who Terry Bradshaw is. Terry Bradshaw is a four-time Super Bowl champion that played mainly in the 70s. He is probably one of the most disrespected Super Bowl champions there are because everybody wants to give all his Super Bowl rings to the Steel Curtain, and they don't want to give him his credit. They don't want to give him credit for what he did in those Super Bowls to win those Super Bowl games. So that's who you're dealing with. And when he talks, you have to consider that's where he's coming from. And what he said, I watched the entire interview. What's going around on Facebook is a graphic that only picks out two comments that he made in the whole freaking interview. And that was maybe he can go play Jeopardy. And number two, him getting upset about them signing the quarterback makes him look weak. And everybody is taking that as if that's all he said in the interview. That's not all he said in the interview. And if you're listening, this man said that Aaron Rodgers was weak because he shouldn't be worried about who they drafted. And he even talked about when a quarterback was drafted after he was the starting quarterback. He didn't worry about them because he's Terry Bradshaw. He knew he was the best thing in there. So even if you did draft somebody, he wasn't worried about who they drafted. I didn't care. I knew I was the best there is, and I'm going to get the job done no matter who they draft. And in his eyes, that's how you should play the game, and that's how you should look at it. So I decided to look at some of the numbers. So what I do agree with Aaron Rodgers on is that the Packers seem to be going out of their way to antagonize and embarrass him. And what I mean by that, according to Stephen A. Smith and others who have reported that when he went to the front office to give his opinion and give his input on who they should draft and who he wanted to play with and so forth, they told him, no, we don't need it. We got it. We don't need your opinion. We want your opinion. We asked for it. And dismissed him. And so he feels disrespected. Well, this is a business. And Aaron Rodgers is great, but you don't have apparently he is being made to feel like he doesn't have the cachet as Tom Brady does or other quarterbacks. He doesn't like it. Why? his arrogance and his ego can't handle it. That's why. He thinks he should be respected on the same level of Tom Brady or anybody else. And they're telling him, no, you shouldn't. That's quite simple. That's it. Now, whether or not he should be, I'm not even here to answer that, because quite honestly, honest with you, I don't like Aaron Rodgers because, like Jerry correctly said, he is a polarizing person. You either love him or hate him. I've never liked him. I never liked him starting on draft night. So I don't like him. But they do seem to have a bone to pick with him for some reason. I have to assume it stems from the locker room. They know things that's going on with him in the locker room that we don't know. Because if he's so great and he's great on the field, any GM, owner, head coach, or whoever should be very happy to have him on the team. They should be happy to get this man what he wants, given the stats that we all see. Therefore, you have to think something else has to be going on behind the scenes that none of us know about. Otherwise, they wouldn't be behaving this way. But here's the thing. He keeps whining about who they've gotten him over the years and saying they haven't gotten him anybody. And he's out here trying to do the best he can, but his team is supposedly trash. Well, he played well enough last year to be the MVP. He didn't win that MVP playing by himself. They finished first in touchdowns, ninth in defensive touchdowns allowed, first in interceptions made, eighth in rushing yards, 13th in defense against the run, 15th in rushing TDs, 14th in defense against rushing TDs, first in average yards per drive, and first in points scored per drive. They were 13-3 on the season. They won the division, and they didn't lose until the conference championship game. We all know what happened in there. So his team couldn't have been all that bad because he didn't win those games by himself. He had to have somebody to throw to. They were 50% on third down conversions, and they scored 80% of the time in the red zone. Did he do that by himself? Did he score that 80% of the time in the red zone? Did he run the ball in? I don't think so. So it's not like his team was that bad that he should be having a tantrum, in my opinion. I think this is more about he's just mad because they dismissed him and told him they don't want to know what he thinks. I think that's what this is all about. And he's trying to put it on not getting the players that he needs and all that. No, I don't think it's that. This man has a Super Bowl, 3 MVPs. He's a 9-time Pro Bowler. He's 3 times All Pro. There's only 4 times since he's been the starter of that team, 4 times that he threw for less than 400 yards in that season. 400 yards in the season. Who is he throwing to? He got to be throwing to somebody. Somebody worked this out. He been in there all this time and only 4 times he's thrown less than 400 yards per game. I don't understand. So I don't agree. I agree with Terry Bradshaw that he is acting a little bit weak. But the only reason why I feel that Terry Bradshaw made the statement that he did is he didn't know about Aaron Rodgers being dismissed by the coaches staff last year. Terry Bradshaw, if you listen to the interview, the only thing he talked about is that Aaron Rodgers looks weak because he shouldn't be worried about Love. That's all he said. That's it. But yet all the Terry Bradshaw haters now are coming down on him talking about, well, you know, he was always stupid anyway. He was always dumb. He don't know what he's talking about. And they're coming down on him to try to say it's a get off my lawn moment. No, it's not. All he's saying is you don't have to worry about the next man when you handle your business as a quarterback and do what you got to do. You know that nobody's going to take your place until you're ready for them to take your place if you do what you got to do. And you're supposed to be Aaron effing Rodgers and you worried about a rookie? Nah, I agree. I'm rolling with Damon Hargrove and Terry Bradshaw on this.
I actually agree with you, Sharon. I think it's something else going on too, because in my opinion, and again, I'm a fan of him, but I think he's too arrogant to really trip off players he need to drive. I think he thinks he's that good that he can get it done with who it is. I don't think it's nothing to do with that. I think it's like you saying, he either got dismissed or something we don't know. But I don't think he's in there crying because he don't have talent. Because the man is I know his demeanor. Yeah, and I know he think he can get it done with anybody. And he's that arrogant and that, you know, bold, in my opinion. So I do think it's something with him and management, or, you know, being dismissed or whatever the case. I don't think he – not saying he don't care at all, but I don't think it's – I don't have nobody. I don't buy that.
I personally believe that he will be traded. You know,
I think he'll be right back there.
I'll just go by team history. I personally believe that he'll be traded, and I'm gonna tell you why. After Brett Favre lost that NFC Championship game, I think it was to the Giants, if I'm not mistaken. Was it the Giants? I think it was the Giants. And, you know, they were trying to push Aaron Rodgers to play and push Brett Favre out the door. NFL Network had a special on it every day for about 2 months. Until Brett Favre ended up getting on a jet and going to the Jets. Let me say all that. I see Aaron Rodgers here leaving. I see him being out of there. Somebody will pick him up. Like I said, he is the MVP. If the organization don't agree with him, obviously it's time for him to go. This is what it is. That's the way I see it. If they ain't trying to get you little key players that you say you wanted, obviously they not messing with you.
I think it too much bad blood there. And they betray him or retire. I just see one of
the... They might as well take that trade from Denver.
Agreed.
Because Denver offering up enough for it. They might as well take that trade from Denver.
I will say if there is a trade, which I don't know will be...
Well, it was.
There's a trade.
It will be Denver.
I just don't believe they're going to trade him.
A quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, and he pissed off, he mad. Why would you want that in your locker room now?
You got to see that. What he's going to do. I feel as though he's going to fake injury.
And be out for the rest of the season.
Be out for the rest of the year. He going to pull a, what's that movie, Longest Yard? Longest Yard when he faked the injury?
Yeah.
Pull a Jay Cutler?
No, Jay Cutler's soft.
All right, I'm gonna read these comments.
You go ahead. That's baby poop soft.
Right.
I don't know what they're talking about way back there, but David Royce said, shout out to David Royce. David Royce said Bucks ain't winning this year. Andre Robinson said Aaron makes players better. So Blaze said, you better go pop in. I guess he was talking to Andre to come to the show. I don't know. Chuck Thomas said Aaron Rodgers will retire and unretire and sign with Tampa after Brady wins his eighth ring. Andre Robinson said, not tonight. My comments will come off as unprofessional, even if I'm not being unprofessional. Eugene Morris said, I'm saying Tom Brady will pass Drew Brees on passing yards. Will be number one in passing yards. What? David Roy said, next topic. And Blaze said, Terry Bradshaw said, what's love got to do? With a little singer. Kellen Kane Lane said, it's talk your ish. That's what this show is for. David Roy said, Lakers, Niners for life. Ricky Bobby said, okay, so he shouldn't be concerned when his team doesn't want to commit to you and they draft a young quarterback? No. Not if you Aaron Rodgers and you supposed to be all that. What's to be concerned about? You don't have to worry about the next man when you are the truth, right? What you worried about?
They did the same thing to Brett Favre, didn't they?
Did the same thing. That's what I said, the state history. Right. Team, I was telling Sharon about it earlier. Team
but they
history.
Didn't do, but they you didn't do it.
Team first, history.
But listen, they didn't do it the first year that Aaron Rodgers was drafted, though. He had to sit by him. He had to sit behind him for a while. So that's what Terry Bradshaw is saying. What you worried about it for? David Roy said Green Bay gave him a contract just because a quarterback is drafted don't mean they don't believe in you. That's right. I'm with him. He said Rodgers ain't leaving until next year. And that's what I believe. I believe he got one more year and he'll be gone. And then Ricky Bobby said, thank you, Dennis. I don't know what you said, but thank you. Eugene Morris said, no Patriots for Aaron Rodgers. Blaze said, if Aaron Rodgers retires to force a trade, he will always be in the Carson Palmer tier. David Roy said, you all tripping. He ain't getting traded. Kellen Kane Lane said, please like and share the show. Chuck Thomas said, Aaron Rodgers will have to pay back $23 million if he retires. Not happening. Ricky Bobby said, so if LeBron was to move teams, if LeBron did the same thing, he'd be soft?
What?
We ain't talking about LeBron, and I don't understand the question.
Right. Only thing I said soft was about Jay Cutler.
That's the last comment.
Yeah, I was talking about Jay Cutler soft as Baby Poop.
Right.
Yeah. So is Aaron Rodgers overrated?
Nah, not to me.
All time, I think he's overrated. First of all, I want to say
he's the best I've ever seen. So,
no.
Nope. I want to say something to Sharon Mullen. Tremendous job, because first of all, nobody's spitting you those statistics the way they do for Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman or Skip Bayless. So for you to do that much homework shows your dedication and shows your professionalism. So, you should always be respected for that. And everybody on here should have respect for everybody. Okay. Second of all, I don't feel that Aaron Rodgers is in no top five quarterbacks all time based on his ability to basically spit the bit in the big game. Okay.
I don't either.
Okay. So you can't, it's just like even the argument we had last week, we're not going to go backwards, but the bottom line is you got to do it. It can't be all what you look like. It's like a pretty woman. She looked pretty, but she can't cook. She looked pretty and she can't bleep. So you leave it there. Leave that for your imagination. So it's got to be more than what the cosmetics are. It's got to be what's in your heart. And another kudo to Sharon Mullen. You're right on. Players don't even like playing with him. Because if you see a lot of the former players, I think the guy's name is Driver, who came out very critical of him. And, so they don't usually do that. As much as people hate LeBron James, I haven't really heard too many people that played with him said they didn't like playing with him unless there was a scrub. Nope. You know?
Not that many.
So my whole thing is Sharon is right on. He is the type of guy, not to say, I'm not even going to say he's a bad guy, because I don't like when people say he's a bad guy or good guy, because, if somebody's helping you and paying your mother's mortgage or doing this, they're always good if it helps you. So bad guy, that's so subjective. But what I will say is that a lot of people don't have that love for him that certain players have for other players. That I will say. And he rubs people the wrong way. So that part of it is obvious. And in terms of why, like I said, we've gotten to this thing about general managers and what organizations will do and what won't do. I don't even think they have a owner of Green Bay, because they're
owned by the organization. I mean, right. The town.
Yeah. So this is a whole different, and like whoever said that is spot on. He ain't give, even if Jeopardy gives him $10 million, you got to give back 20 something million of that, remember that quarterback signing bonus? That shit ain't happening. He ain't giving. When they say go in your bank account and take it out and give it to somebody, it's only a few brothers that's gonna do that. The guy, what's his name, running back for Detroit, he did it, But it's very few people that's gonna do that, especially if you're greedy for money. And the one thing I see about a lot of people today, love to live over that means and love to be greedy for that dollar.
So you say he ain't a top five quarterback?
All time. He's not right. My top time on my list. He might be on your list, but he ain't on my list.
Yeah, he's not on my list.
We got time for that.
But he's not on mine either.
He ain't on my top five all time either.
Not my top five all time.
Shit, one Super Bowl? Please. Mm-mm. Not as much credit as they give quarterbacks these days, and not as much as they put it in their pocket.
Well, all five of your quarterbacks have more than one Super Bowl.
I moved him up one space on my list this season because he won his third MVP.
No, but I said, Guru, all five of your quarterbacks got multiple Super Bowls on your top five. Is that what you're saying?
They're not just saying we ain't doing that.
No, he ain't got a list, but I'm just asking him a question.
Let's discuss it on the after show. So, because I want to do what Dennis tells to do. He running the show. It's his
Ryan, baby. What you got? You think he overrated or not?
I think he very overrated.
Okay. I've heard that before, too.
Because he should have more Super Bowl rings.
Okay.
I mean, if you call yourself the best, prove it. He just got one, right?
Right.
Right? We all agree, right?
Right.
He's a discount double check guy.
Yeah, you're a discount double check, but
relax.
You went to five NFC championship games and lost. Let me see. Every last single one.
No, he lost.
Relax.
He
won one.
I know a guy like that, but everybody think he a bum, so I ain't gonna say nothing.
Right.
So
I know a guy did that same stuff. Everybody call him a bum, but that's not my job.
Never heard nobody call him a bum.
The people call him a bum.
Heard that.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers is overrated?
No, I have him top five, so no, I don't think he's. I don't think he's overrated. I lean more towards underrated.
Thank you.
You know, I'm not a team accomplishment guy at all for individual players, so.
With quarterbacks, you have to.
What about Dan Marino? All the credit he gets.
I have him up there. Too.
Wait a minute. Don't do that.
But that's why he can't be.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Tell the truth.
Don't do that.
Tell the truth.
Hold up, man. We talking to D-Man. D-Man.
What's up?
You think Aaron Rodgers is overrated?
No.
Thank you.
You think he's properly rated or underrated?
For me, I'll say underrated.
Really? Wow. By who? Because from all accounts that I hear, a lot of the professional analysts have him in their top five all time. I just don't. But I mean,
the reason why, people are going to say like he's underrated. I mean, I'm not saying that like we're all underrated, but. He's never overrated. That's my point.
I understand what you're saying, D-Man. Let me get to the next big question that's been stirring up for a while. The Phoenix Suns are the number one team in the NBA, I think.
I'm out.
I want to make sure I'm saying this right. The NBA.
Yes.
Is this because of the Chris Paul effect? Talk to me.
Absolutely.
What you got, Ryan?
What is the Chris Paul effect? See, I need to know to define that for me.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you. He take a team to the playoffs.
Hold on, Ryan.
No, baby.
Before you say it, make sure you say it specifically right, because she will pick you apart because of your words.
I'm gonna go there right now.
That's why she asked you that. Now she know she've heard the Chris Paul effect before. That's why I didn't answer that when she said it. This is the chocolate girl moment. You gotta watch her. There's her moment right here when she asked the question and she already gonna answer to.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
I'm gonna say this. He take teams to the playoffs, but he get injured. That the effect of Chris Paul. That Chris Paul. He take teams to the playoffs and get injured. Yes or no?
For the most part, that's true.
That's true.
Okay.
His career.
So
he definitely elevates every team he goes to.
He elevates every team to the playoffs. Then when the playoffs get here, he get injured.
Yes or no?
When it matters.
When it matters the most. Houston.
Oh man, that one hurt. That still hurt.
West team,
New
Orleans,
Oklahoma,
Pelicans,
the Pelicans. What happened? All these places,
Clippers,
took into the playoffs and got injured in the playoffs.
I still want to know what the Chris Paul effect is.
See, I told you.
I want to know what it is. Somebody got to tell me.
I can't tell. I need somebody
to tell me what is the Chris Paul effect for the Phoenix Suns. I'm not talking about New Orleans. I'm not talking about.
Oh, you talking about Phoenix?
The Clippers. I'm not talking about Houston, OKC. I want to know what is the Chris Paul effect.
He is a good teacher.
All I know is Phoenix didn't have a point guard since Steve Nash, pretty much, and they've tried multiple people at the position. Even moved Booker there a time or two early in his career, and obviously he's not a point guard. And obviously, even seeing what they did since Booker's been there, let's just go with Booker and Aiden since they've been there. They even came close to a playoffs. Now he goes there. Like Charles Barkley says, is a famous line. He's the great best leader in the NBA, whatever the case. He goes there and just puts the team together. He has Aiden playing in the right spots, gets him the ball in the right spots. I just think he's just, you know, whatever you want to call it, the effect, the illusion, whatever. I just think that dude, when he goes to a team, he gets the most out of his players. He gets them the ball in the position where they need to be, and the leadership, the mentality of winning. Now, again, you got a point. Playoffs, you know, he's had some untimely injuries. I don't think he's a joker. I think whatever you want to call it, but this Phoenix Sun has reaped benefit by getting that dude this year.
Okay, sports. So let me see what Sports Guru got to say, because he ain't said too much anything. Sports Guru, come on, talk to me. Talk to me.
Well, first of all, Phoenix almost made the playoffs last year. They missed it by one game. They went undefeated in the bubble, and if it wasn't for that bullshit win by the Nets, they would have made it last year. But anyway, so that being said, Chris Paul has had a tremendous effect on this team. Now, I can't discount the effect that Devin Booker has had, nor Monty Williams. You got to give all of those brothers some credit too. But it's been a triple play more or less that all three of them have made. You know, and even I think the one thing that you have to wait and see is what they do in the playoffs. Is it the same old song with Chris Paul in terms of they get to a point but can't get over that hump? Or does he finally get this team over the hump? Considering the health of the Lakers, you know, they got a shot. Would I bet on them? No, I definitely wouldn't bet on them. But, you know, and the one thing, let me finish. I don't want to take up too much more time. I know I'm a little long-winded. But the one thing I say about Chris Paul, and it goes to the Aaron Rodgers thing, Chris Paul rubs people the wrong way. Always has, always will. And that's been one of his, you know, he's very abrasive. You know, it's a fine art to be able to criticize people and how you talk to them, and do they follow you or do they despise you? Chris Paul, for the most part, I think, you know, he gets that despise. You know, he's a little, you know, general, so to speak. You know, even if you look at his commercials with his little son, you know, he could tell he's out of that fatherhood, you know, that he don't take no shit. And oh, children will always, and I know from having a daughter that played, you know, got a scholarship and all that they will always kind of have that love-hate relationship with you, you know, and unfortunately, when it comes to parents, sometimes it's more hate than love, because I felt it, so I know, but go ahead.
All right, Sharon. We might get two chocolate girl moments tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I still am not a believer that the sole reason why they're in the position they're in is because of Chris Paul. I know the beloved Kendrick Perkins believes it is, but I'm sorry, Perk. I disagree. And, you know, I'm looking at Devin Booker last season. I'm just going to go back to last season. He finished the season out 26-4-7. Right now, he's 26-4-4. Yet, everybody's talking about Chris Paul has even elevated his game. No, he hasn't. Devin's been balling like that. He's averaged 26 points a game since 2018. Mm-hmm. Right? He's the best player on the team since 2018. What I see is I see a team that was mismatched and had a glaring missing piece. In the 2019-2020 Phoenix Suns roster, who was their starting point guard?
Ricky Rubio, wasn't it?
Yeah, for 65 games. But who was the starting point guard after that?
Oh, I don't know. I thought they only played 65
maybe,
games.
Maybe they only played 65. But it says on here that Devin Booker played 70. So I don't know. Hey, I don't know. Maybe
that was because of the COVID.
Maybe so. Well, anyway, Ricky Rubio ain't no Chris Paul.
No.
See? So if you got Chris Paul, you got Ricky Rubio, and Ricky Rubio is the person that you're taking over for. All Chris Paul had to go in and play half his game, and he'd be better than Ricky Rubio.
Mm.
So it's not like he's doing something that's just so exciting that's, oh, he should be MVP and all this stuff. No.
Mm.
I agree with Damon. They were already on that trajectory. Undefeated in the bubble until they lost that one game.
Yeah, but
they could sniff going to the finals.
Mm.
They could sniff it. So they're just completing the trajectory of where they were last season. Mm. And I believe they would have done it had they gotten some other point guard that was a free agent, namely Russell Westbrook. I just wonder how they would fare if they had Russell Westbrook instead of Chris Paul on his team. I wonder.
You want my answer?
No, I'm just giving you something to think about.
Oh, no, I got the answer for you.
What I'm saying is I don't feel that it is the Chris Paul effect. I believe it's a good point guard effect. And I'm saying you could have put put two or three other point guards in there and you'd have the same result right now. Mm. The same or close to it.
What about Drew Holiday?
Drew Holiday ain't no Chris Paul level. He's good, but he's not Chris Paul good. So that's what I'm saying. If you put Kyrie there, they'd be there.
How about Kyle Lowry?
Maybe.
Mike Lowry.
Maybe.
I don't believe if you put Kyrie there that they're the number one team in the West. I don't believe that.
Well, I do. I do. If his head wasn't so messed up and he wasn't missing games like he is, I think they would be. But that's my hot take. Did you hear what Chocolate said? And I'm just saying that to make my point, though, I don't believe that it is the Chris Paul effect necessarily. Now, the one difference that I will say, Chris Paul is great with younger players, but that's largely because he can bully younger players. Because Chris Paul is known to be a bully. He's been known to be a bully since high school. Carried it all the way through college and brought it into the NBA. I've said this before on this show that he's a bully. And that's why he's also a very polarizing player. And you either love him or hate him. I don't like him, never have. But I'm not giving you this opinion because I don't like him. There's several players I don't like, but I give him their respect as is due. He's a great player. I don't believe he's the best point guard in the league. I think he was a great fit for that team at this time. But I don't believe that he's the only reason. Done. And I still want to know somebody to tell me what the Chris Paul effect is.
Oh, goodness.
He's a regular season winner.
He will win.
He's a regular season winner.
Anybody else got anything to say? Dennis, what you think?
He elevates teams from that didn't make the playoffs in years and takes them to number one seeds.
In the playoffs, he did get injured.
If you put him on a team, like when he was on OKC last year and ain't nobody think too much OKC even making the playoffs, he still took him to a sixth seed.
He did.
I used to love Chris Paul a whole lot, but I used to get frustrated that he couldn't win those big games. It would frustrate me, and I would start to get upset. But I can't deny, you know, the power that he has on the floor and how he becomes a team player and involves the whole team. But when it comes to the playoffs, that's a different Chris Paul. That's the CP0 that what is his name? Oh my gosh, he says it all the time, CP0. What is his name? Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless calls him CP0 when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's what I'm gonna say about that.
Well, let me read these comments real quick.
Yes.
Okay. David Roy said, come on, Sharon. Ain't no other reason. He brings leadership to a young team. I didn't say he didn't. Did I say he didn't? Mm-hmm. I don't think I said that. Jay Jones said, Chris Paul brought leadership for those Suns' young guns. Okay. Didn't I say the word leadership?
Yes.
I thought I said that. But okay. David Evans Sr. said, Phoenix will win it all, period. Chris Paul is a premier point guard. Yeah, okay. You high as AF. Blaze said they better hope Love pans out. Well, he was back on that. Ethan Tweedy said, yeah, that's Booker's team. Kellen Kane Lane said Devin Booker made it a hotline. CP3 made it a hot song.
Okay.
All right. Quoting Hove. All right. Eugene Morris said, I have to go to Guru Master and All-Star panel. My is Big Gino. I want to say, if you smell what Big Gino is cooking, smell what Big Gino is cooking. Okay. Jay Jones said, Kellen Kane Lane, facts exactly. And that was it.
All right.
Well, I stand by what I said. I'm not saying that he's not leading the young people, but I don't think that he is the difference maker on that team like that. You got to look at what they did last season. You can't look at what they did the last three seasons progressively and discount it and dismiss it as if they were doing nothing until he got there. It's not true.
Ryan, you going to hit us off with some hot topics? We ain't got that time for many of them, though.
Yeah,
it's 10:03.
Yeah, we're going to have to roll over to next week.
If you could trade your head coach, would you do it? And for who?
I'm trading my head coach right now for Matt Rhule.
Why?
Because I like Matt Rhule. That's my guy.
Matt Rhule has not proved nothing yet.
He hasn't proven anything.
I didn't ask y'all about why I like him. I told you I'm trading my head coach right now for Matt Rhule. I don't need y'all approval on what he didn't do yet. I've seen the man and what he did do from when he was in college.
Remember that now.
College, okay. College, all right. Well, my answer is I'm not trading my coach. I wouldn't trade my head coach, Mike Tomlin, for nothing or nobody, not even Belichick.
Okay. Nope.
Anybody else got him? What you got, Guru?
Yeah.
Or Guru ain't got a coach. I forgot.
Czar?
But if you was the pick a coach, Guru, who
Czar, would you trade Mike McCarthy?
No, I want to give him a fair shake before. I mean, now if Garrett was still there, obviously, hell yes. But we just got a brand new coach who, unfortunately, we had, you know, the season that he had to endure based off, you know, which we've talked about a number of times, the injury. I know y'all don't like him. But I'm just at least want to give him. No matter who it is, I usually give a coach, player, whatever, you know, 2-3 years at least to implement a system, a coordinator, coach, whatever. So I want to give him this year and see what he do. But at one time I did want Sean Payton when he was rumored because he's a Dallas guy. He came from us. when they had that what was that? That the hitman stuff going on in New Orleans when they thought
the violent gate.
Yeah, they thought he was gonna leave and come back to Dallas after that or whatever, but it didn't happen.
They said they're making a movie on it.
Yeah, I was a Sean Payton fan, but you know, like that ship kind of sailed. So
okay, Dalton.
For me, I'm gonna say yes.
You be trade your head coach for who?
I don't care as long as I just want to get him out of here. That's all I care about. I really don't care anymore.
Bye, Sean Payton.
what about Jared? Jared, where Jared at? Jared, you still there?
I'm here.
He hasn't got to coach for us yet, Nick Sirianni, but I'd have to give him up for my favorite coach, obviously, Joe Brady.
I knew it.
He's a QB wide receiver guy too, which is the two big things right now for us. So
where does Joe Brady coach at?
He's the offensive coordinator
for
the Panthers.
For the Panthers, okay.
And he was LSU's pass game coordinator and wide receiver coach and QB coach for when Burrow was there and we won the national championship. Yeah, and he's 31 years old too, so I'd have a long, long time left for him on our team.
Do you think Stephen Curry can take the Warriors to the finals and win it?
No, not even
hell. Hell no.
Can I say it? You want me?
Yes.
You want to hear what I got to say?
Yes, I'm a day question just for you.
I love me some Steph Curry, and I think what he's doing this season is phenomenal. He's fighting as hard as he can, but ain't no way in hell he going to the finals with that team. That's Guru.
Guru, my bad. Mr. Hell Guru. No.
Hell, hell no.
All I'm going to say is you changed the question.
No, I had it on here.
You said, nope. You told me that the question was going to be, do you think Steph Curry could take Golden State Warriors to the finals? You didn't say it and win it. You said take them there. You just said take them to the finals and win it.
I didn't hear the winning part. I'm just going to say that. But
right. He did. My bad. He didn't just – he said that.
My bad there.
None of us above.
Hell no.
I'm still saying hell no.
Okay. My next question.
Oh, Sharon, answer.
I say hell yeah. He could do it. Yes. Okay. Now, keep going.
I bet you a piece of chocolate, Sharon.
Oh, Lord. Why are you trying to get some of that chocolate?
She's sweet. Go ahead, Ron.
And what NBA team you think will get swept in the first round of the playoffs?
Them Suns.
Suns ain't getting swept. And I hope they play Steph Curry at 8. I hope he can make it to the play-in. Sweep his ass.
Denver.
I think the Dallas Mavericks are going to get swept.
You think Dallas?
Yeah, I don't understand who this Dallas team is no more. To be honest with you.
They ain't getting swept.
Shit is out of control. Luka getting technicals like he Rasheed Wallace. I'm like, what the fuck going on right now? I'm like, you're from overseas. You're supposed to barely speak English. Ain't nobody supposed to know what you're saying.
One more he gets right? too.
I like Rick Carlisle a lot. But dang, this might be the end of his growth, too. Something going on with this Dallas team.
He's trying to do
They should have been, honestly, that Dallas team, this Dallas team should be the number 2 team in the West.
Not with Porzingis struggling.
That's what I'm saying. He's been struggling like that for a while, and the Knicks made the best decision letting him go.
Well,
Dennis. Don't give me that.
I'm a Knicks fan, but I ain't that big of a Knicks fan.
Everybody go.
Ethan Tweedy agrees with you, Dennis. He says the Mavericks. Eugene Morris said the Nuggets. Kellen said the Lakers and Philly both going to get bounced in the first round.
And Kelly gonna drink a cool glass of water to get his thoughts back together.
I got the Charlotte Hornets.
You think Charlotte will get bounced?
Mellow back, baby.
That's great. Good for him. And he's gonna learn a hard back.
Mellow is back. That's the best ball kid out the house.
Come on. I said the Nuggets. That's what I said.
All right, come on. We got time. We got time for one more.
What NBA player that would have stayed healthy you think would have won a ring in the NBA?
I got this one. I got three of them.
Go ahead, Shane. I'll let you go.
I got Tracy McGrady. Penny Hardaway.
And for me.
Derrick Rose. And I got four. What is his name? I can see him. I was just talking about him earlier. He played for Duke.
Grant Hill.
That's it.
Who would have gone next?
You took my Derrick Rose, so I'm gonna go with Brandon Roy.
That's a bitch.
Well, you can say Derrick Rose too.
No. I mean, I'm agreeing.
Yeah.
I agree with all yours except McGrady, and I love McGrady, and here's the reason why. I don't remember what he ended up doing, but I remember he had a problem getting out of the first round, and I remember when he was in Orlando and they were playing Detroit and they were up 3-1 and they asked him, and this always sticks out to me, blah, 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 blah. I forgot the question, and he said, man, it just feels good to finally get out the first round. And Detroit won the next three games and beat them 4-3.
Thing I say about that, Cesar, is who was his head coach, Cesar?
No. I'm just saying.
Go ahead. I want to say something about that because everybody don't know the only reason he signed with the Magic because Grant Hill was supposed to sign with them too.
Right. I'm just talking about Chris Kevin Green. Like, I just don't know what his playoff record was. But I agree with
Van Gundy, ain't it?
No, it wasn't Van Gundy.
Not at that time.
Was it Brian? I forgot dude's name. I know you're talking about. But the other three, I definitely agree with. Add Brandon Roy to the list. That's probably it.
Dennis, you want to go?
I have Brandon Roy. He stole my people. And let Sports Guru go.
No, what? Can you repeat the question, Ronnie boy?
What NBA player that would have stayed healthy you think would have won a ring in the NBA?
Okay, I misunderstood the question. My answer was going to be Greg Oden. Champion, I'm not really sure about that. But I do think he was a player that had tremendous potential and just never – injuries just sucked it right out of him.
Sure did.
Mm-hmm. But he did get a ring, though.
He did. Who did he get a ring with? With the Lakers? I mean, with the Miami? Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I think I won with Miami. You're right.
Yeah.
He was on that team.
With Miami.
Yeah, you're right about that. But good. Hey, man, you do it all, Ronnie boy. God damn, man.
Y'all won with Miami.
You ain't only Atlanta Falcon coordinator, huh?
I know a little bit about basketball.
Damn sure do. Good one. Nice catch.
Pauline to Pauline.
You know basketball is my sport, sir.
Oh.
Yeah, nah, you're good.
We got one more, Dennis. I did one more.
Yeah.
Final football. When you got a football.
Okay. What grade you would give your team for their draft picks?
Yeah, probably I can go first on that.
Yeah, I already explained the whole draft, but the actual letter grade, I'd give a C-.
Dennis?
Maybe. Yeah.
I gave him a B.
Shane?
A.
Guru?
Well, I don't have a favorite football team, but yeah. I want to go back to Sharon though, because Dan Orlovsky gave you guys a C minus, and I thought Najee Harris was a great pick, and I'm not sure about what you did after that. I know you got the tight end after that as well, so I really didn't understand why he gave you a C minus. But then he explained that he felt that you should have drafted or reach for offensive linemen in the first round and then try to get a running back in the second or the third round, I guess third. And I thought that was absurd. I think you always go for the most talented player in that situation. And I'm not sure or positive, but that Najee Harris might be the best player that was on Alabama.
He's a problem.
You know what I'm saying?
He's good. He's good. Listen, it's Dan Orlovsky. I don't give him any credit. The man doesn't.
He's terrible.
Yes. Yes, yeah. We agree. He is terrible. I don't care what he says. I dismiss it. It's like this. Just dust it right on off your shoulder. Just like that.
Well, they all terrible anyway, but I respect that.
Every time I see him or see him say something, I just picture him running out of the back of the end zone and it's over. Every time.
To be honest with you, I'm going to give him a C minus.
Okay.
Ethan Tweedy gave the Bills an A minus.
Okay.
The coach for the Orlando Magic at that time,
Brian Hill,
trying to say was Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers
is known for giving up 3-1 leads, and I didn't really want to say he sure it because
he's yeah.
coaching. He's coaching my Sixers now, and we better not go up 3-1.
Oh, y'all fancy. Y'all finna feel the fire.
We better not go up 3-1 at all. This whole
that the final
off.
Question?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get to the – I'm going to bow out. Another great show. You coming over. I'll see you in a minute, Dennis. Sharon, everybody. Sharon, you did your thing. Guru, you did your thing.
Yeah, this is the –
No, know. I won't be on the show, Zara. I'll be in the comments.
All right. We'll see you in there. All right, Pylon, everybody.
Peace out.
Have a good night, man.
Now,
ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all very much for coming out tonight. Sports Guru, you got any last words?
Well, I just wanted to say, because you never got to the topic about LeBron James. Let me say this. I thought LeBron was definitely, he was wrong what he said about the bubble. Not because he thought last year that it was a good thing or a bad thing, but I think it's really created a lot more excitement for these last couple of games, and it stopped this tanking nonsense. Other than the fact that the NBA has a problem with the Nets and a few of these other teams with this, you know, load management, the Clippers in particular, Kawhi Leonard, excuse me. This has really helped the season, and really, you know, I think the Lakers, if they're healthy, it doesn't even matter if they get into the play-in. Obviously, you got to win, but, you know, in that regard, he was wrong. As far as, you know, him and Luka both said that they felt that if you play a whole season, I do agree on this level that it shouldn't be 10, 9, 8, 7, you know, all of those teams playing in this little round robin. It should maybe be like two teams for that last spot. If you're 7, you really should make the playoffs because you were top 7 the whole entire year. In a normal season, it's 82 games this year. 72 or 73, I'm not sure exactly which one it is, but the bottom line is that is my only tweak with it, but it has helped the NBA. So I agree LeBron was wrong. I'm not going to, you know, disagree with LeBron because, you know, he's my favorite player of all time, but the bottom line is if he's wrong, he's wrong. Now, as far as the other part of what he said, he's right about that, but you can't, you know, it looks bad because conveniently, although I did read a couple of times where he actually said that it wasn't such a good thing last year as well, but obviously the main comment they have is what he said about Portland and a few of those other teams. And definitely check out my new podcast, Sports Guru Live, on where we got it on
Anchor, Spotify,
and iTunes. And another one, Pocket Cast. I never heard of that before. So definitely give me some love there. And I appreciate the show, man. And kudos to Sharon. She was, you know, I know she might have
jumped out of here, but oh, there she is.
No, I'm
she,
here.
She was beautiful, and I apologize because no one should, you know, disrespect anybody, and especially a beautiful woman like you. Happy Mother's Day to you, also.
Thank you, thank you. We'll be back on. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day. Anyway, I don't like the play in. I don't like it at all, not one bit. That's just all I'm gonna say on that. Make sure you guys check out. Did you hear what Chocolate said? I posted my draft, my NFL draft recap with my special guest, Mr. Dennis Holmes, with me on that show. So you guys can check it out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Shout out to Buck Flair, whose show comes on tomorrow, 10 o'clock. I'm hoping Buck will let me come on the show. I messaged you, Chuck, so let me know, because I'm not going on to Stay Tuned tonight, so maybe I can get on Buck Flair tomorrow. I got to keep my, you know, I got to keep my mojo up. You hear that, Damon? I got to keep myself up, so I got to get on.
Hey, we need Damon to come on. Did you hear what Chocolate said?
Oh, yeah, we're going to set that up. I already told him we're going to set that up. We'll have Damon on. And this was a good show, great show. Thanks, thank you know all of y'all on the show, and thank everybody in the comments.
Okay, Jarrett, you got anything? Is D-Man y'all there?
Not too much. Just the show's tomorrow, like she said. Buck Flair show tomorrow, and before that, Sam Sports.
Oh yeah, really, have a good Sam night, everybody. Sports. Yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, and the AFC North show on Friday, 7 o'clock, Sam Sports.
Shout out the Flying High Podcast. We'll be back this Saturday. Shout out to Travis, Darius, and Nathan. And thank you for the Rise Up family and the fans.
All right.
And thank you for letting me be on the show.
Thanks for being here, D-Man.
I'll be here.
Yeah, Buck Flair said come on for the draft grades.
Oh, okay. Tomorrow, okay. Well, all I need is the link. All I need is the link, Buck Flair. Just send me the link.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all for coming out tonight. Sorry for the technical difficulties. If you missed some of the show, it will be on YouTube. Make sure y'all go check the link in my link tree. It should be on YouTube within the hour. Again, God bless. Good night.
Good night.